Hey everyone, it's Andres off the record. Thank you so much for joining me on this Monday, the last Monday of November 2020. Yeah, tomorrow's December 1st. So I wanted to go over an article I came across that someone I respect shared, and it's from The Spectator. And I thought it was a pretty good article to explain why, if you haven't questioned the results of the election thus far, you should. First off, the election's not over yet, if you did not know that. Stay tuned for part 5 of Election Groundhog Day this Friday at www.theandresegovia.com and possibly on Rumble as well when I post it there. So you'll know where things still are. And the reason I say that is because today, the counting's still going on. Biden has now amassed 80 million votes in his favor. That's fascinating, considering that I have yet to meet a person that said they voted for Biden because they liked him. And not to mention that Kamala Harris was so unpopular, she dropped out before the first primary vote. But we gotta believe they have a combined 80 million votes because everybody wanted them? Yeah, a lot of questions. But this is a great summary from The Spectator that Patrick Bassam wrote. And he titled it, Reasons Why the 2020 Presidential Election is Deeply Puzzling. And I'm gonna read this one to you because it gives a great summary for why this is a concern. That you should be asking questions. It's not a conspiracy theory or anything like that. Even though there are conspiracy theories about what's happening, that doesn't mean that's what I'm buying into. I'm only pointing out the irregularities because, as I made the case in part 4 of my Election Groundhog Day, it's like where there's smoke, there's fire. So here, I basically, I'm going to go through this because it gives a pretty good summary, but this is why we have to weed out the systems that cause these irregularities in the first place, because this is way out of whack. And for anyone that was questioning the legitimacy of the last election, where there was zero evidence despite investigations and just turning every single corner, looking through underneath every single rock and nothing coming up except exposing more Democrat operatives. In this case, they're blatantly cheating in your face and telling you through big tech and their propaganda machine, the mainstream media, that it's not happening. In fact, today CNN continues to say, the 7 states are going to certify their vote. Meanwhile, Trump's campaign still continues to challenge the baseless claims of fraud. The baseless claims of fraud. That's rich coming from CNN. So, article, let's go through it. And that's what I'm going to share with you here. To say out loud that you find the results of the 2020 presidential election odd is to invite derision. Mm-hmm. You must be a crank or a conspiracy theorist. Mark me down as a crank then. I am a pollster and I find this election to be deeply puzzling. I also think that the Trump campaign is very well within its rights to contest the tabulation. Something very strange happened in America's democracy in the early hours of Wednesday, November 4th, and the days that followed. It is reasonable for a lot of Americans to want to find out exactly what. Now, it's a kind of a lengthy article, and it can get a little convoluted, so I'm going to leave a link to this in the show notes that comes to this episode at www.theandresegovia.com. So I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs and then get to the summary of the main things that are really, really questionable about what happened. Okay, so first consider some facts. President Trump received more votes than any previous incumbent seeking re-election. He got 11 million more votes than in 2016. The third largest rise in support ever for an incumbent. Now, by way of comparison, President Obama was comfortably re-elected in 2012 with 3.5 million fewer votes. What that means is 3.5 million people did not vote for Obama in 2012 that did vote for him in the previous cycle. But Obama still was very comfortably reelected. Trump's vote increased so much, according to exit polls, he performed far better with many key demographic groups. 95% of Republicans voted for him. He did extraordinarily well with rural male working class men. Oh, that's a tongue twister. He did extraordinarily well with rural male working class whites. He earned the highest share of all minority votes for Republicans since 1960. Trump grew his support among black voters by 50% over 2016. Nationally, Joe Biden's black support fell way below 90%, the level below which Democrat presidential candidates usually lose. So this article is making the case that statistically, there's too many anomalies that do not add up to favor Biden. In fact, all signs point to Trump winning. Trump increased his share of the national Hispanic vote to 35%. With 60% or less of the national Hispanic vote, it is arithmetically impossible for a Democratic candidate to win Florida, Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico. Bellwether states swung further in Trump's direction than in 2016. Florida, Ohio, and Iowa each defied America's media polls with huge wins for Trump. Since 1852, only Richard Nixon has lost the Electoral College after winning this trio, and the 1960 defeat to John F. Kennedy is still the subject of great suspicion. Now, this goes on to talk about a lot of different things, especially breaking down polls, because this is a pollster, so he breaks down a lot of stuff. But here's an interesting part before I get to the summary. We are told that Biden won more votes nationally than any presidential candidate in history, but he won a record low of... I lost my spot. Of 17% of counties. Huh? He only won 524 counties as opposed to 873 counties Obama won in 2008. Yet somehow, Biden outdid Obama in total votes. Here are the following peculiarities that lack compelling explanations. This is the very end of it. It's a list of nine, that is. Number one, late on election night with Trump comfortably ahead, many swing states stopped counting ballots. In most cases, observers were removed from the counting facilities. Counting generally continued without the observers. If you haven't seen the videos of observers being kicked out or not being let in different states, these swing states, particularly in Michigan, where they even boarded up the windows so no one could see what they were doing in there. What the hell? And around 3 to 4 in the morning in a lot of these places, particularly Michigan and Wisconsin, just a bunch of people showing up with different suitcases and coolers and igloos or whatever to bring in ballots. What the heck is going on? Two. Statistically abnormal vote counts were the new normal when counting resumed. Remember, these places stopped counting. They were unusually high in size, hundreds of thousands, and had an unusually high 90% and above Biden to Trump ratio. The reason this is really crucial to question, look at how many states are still counting. And we're talking about just a couple of thousands. Maybe no more than 10,000, and they still have been able to finish tallying all that in all these weeks since the election day? But you mean to tell me they were able to count with fewer people in these election counting centers that in between 3 to around 3 to 4 a.m. all the way to about 10 a.m., they were able to count hundreds of thousands of votes with fewer people placed there in the dead of night? But then after that, they can't even count 10,000 votes in the weeks thereafter. And how convenient they're all for Biden. Number three, late arriving ballots were counted. In Pennsylvania, 23,000 absentee ballots have impossible postal return dates, and another 86,000 have such extraordinary return dates they raise serious questions. Yeah, especially when individuals that voted absentee didn't vote absentee. They voted in person. Number four, the failure to match signatures on mail-in ballots. The destruction of mail-in ballots, which must contain signatures. That's odd, especially when there's legal contests happening. If you're going to do a signature match, you can't do it now because the signature on the envelope has to match the signature that's inside the ballot, and the envelope was destroyed. Number five, historically low absentee ballot rejection rates despite the massive expansion of mail voting. Such is Biden's narrow margin that, as political analyst Robert Barnes observes, if the states simply impose the same absentee ballot rejection rate as recent cycles, then Trump wins the election. What this means is, normally there's a statistical average, a medium number. If you do statistics, and believe me, statistics is complicated and I hated it when I studied it, but when you take this and you tabulate what's happened in previous elections, that there's a rejection rate. It's kind of like for those of you sports fans and all these next gen stats and all that. Oh my goodness, whenever a team is losing by these many points and these many minutes left in the game and playing in this kind of weather, in this place, and on away territory, whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. They'll always come up with something like that. That's That's ridiculous, okay? That's exaggerated. But in the case of mail-in ballots, in this case, absentee ballots, because there's human error because it's a human system, there are a number of average rejections or medium rejections. In other words, let's say 10%. So let's say in every election, there's been a 10% rejection of these absentee ballots because of the error that comes through. It wasn't properly posted, it arrived late, or the signatures don't match, or just something was up with it, or was ripped, whatever. Whatever anomaly it was rejected for whatever that was. And on average, let's say 10%. I'm just doing an arbitrary number here. In this case of this election, it says historically low absentee rejection rates. Zero. Almost zero. That means they just counted it like whatever. Number six, missing votes. In Delaware County, Pennsylvania, 50,000 votes held on 47 USB cards are missing. Interesting, because a Senate hearing was calling into question to check out the votes. Like, yeah, we can't find the votes. You can't find the USB cards? Number seven, non-resident voters. Matt Brainard's Voter Integrity Project estimates that 20,312 people who no longer met residency requirements cast ballots in Georgia. Biden's margin is 12,670. People that don't live in Georgia were voting in Georgia. And that's actually something being encouraged by Democrats and the mainstream media, including CNN, they're part of the mainstream media, encouraging people to do that for the Georgia runoff election in January because they want control of the Senate. Number eight, serious chain of custody breakdowns. Invalid residential addresses, record numbers of dead people voting, ballots in pristine condition without creases. That is, they had not been mailed in envelopes as required by law. Wait, how do you have ballots that were mailed in, that were supposed to be mailed in and counted, but they were never mailed in? Nine, last one. Statistical anomalies. In Georgia, Biden overtook Trump with 89% of the votes counted. Yeah, this is something that happened a lot, especially Pennsylvania. For the next 53 batches of votes counted, Biden led Trump by the same exact 50.05 to 49.95% margin in every single batch. It is particularly perplexing that all statistical anomalies and tabulation anomalies were in Biden's favor. Yes, whether the cause was simple human error or nefarious activity or a combination, clearly something peculiar happened. If you think that only weirdos have legitimate concerns about these findings and claims, maybe the weirdness lies in you. Patrick Bassam is director of the Democracy Institute. And yes, this is an excellent article, and I didn't read it all, so I recommend you check it out and leave the link to it in the show notes of this episode of www.theinterestingover.com, because those are real questions. Those are the reasons, and some of which I saw happen personally while watching this live. That's why I stayed up so late on election night. And then the next day, I'm like, you see what's going on here? And if you find them on social media before Big Tech can take them down, you'll be able to find the moment, especially CNN, because Chris Cuomo's face was golden when the blue spike happened. I think it was Wisconsin or Michigan, and they just looked like, what do they do? It's like they were trying to cut away. Why would you need to cut away? Why is that a concern? So there's a lot of crap that happened. There's too many questions that throw the results into doubt, and that's enough. That's enough to call into question all this, to delay or not allow the Electoral College to vote on this because it's legally challenged. But of course, the mainstream media is going to tell you, is telling you, that Trump is the one trying to steal the election, despite the fact that mainstream media was doing voter suppression, despite the fact that all they ever been was a propaganda piece for the Democrat National Committee and the Republican establishment. Not to be mistaken, there's the Republican establishment that are out for Trump as well. So let's say this actually gets overturned. Who's going to be responsible for Americans being at each other's throats? The mainstream media. Because they're the ones that have been lying to you this whole time. There are legitimate questions that you yourself have to be asking that I just read to you. And you can read for yourself from this one too. It's anywhere you can reach to find it. Sadly, it won't come to you like everything else being fed to you by the mainstream media. So you got to do a little bit of legwork to go find it. We'll see where things play out. A lot of election news this week. Stay tuned for Election Groundhog Day Part 5. Yep, it's election day. The media doesn't get to elect them. It's all on the Constitution. And believe me, This is a huge constitutional battle happening right before our eyes. Historic, because it's never happened before. Not at this level. And it's egregious. It's disgusting. And you're being told that nothing's happening. Oh, my goodness. Believe me. This is big. Anyway, that's it for this one. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you on the next one.